Hey guys, welcome back for episode 27. So last week we explored how the technology you use can make or break your business growth, and why your tech stack needs to support your goals, and how to avoid shiny object syndrome. And this week we're going to be taking it back to the foundation of all great marketing, and that's planning. Specifically, a framework that should guide every campaign, strategy, and business decision, and that's the SoStack framework.
Yeah, so SoStack framework was created by Paul from PR Smith, and it's pretty much used globally, especially in the B2B space for marketing and business plans. It's not just about marketing plans. You can use it for business plans and all sorts of different types of planning. And it's the go-to, along with RACE, that we use for all our growth plans.
We've also done another episode on, so we'll link that down below for you guys.
Yep. It's a fantastic framework. So SoStack itself stands for situation, objectives, strategy, tactics, action, and control. So it's SoStack. And it's so effective that it provides clarity, structure, and focus for the business and marketing plans, or whatever kind of plan that you wish to create. And how that compares to other models like RACE. The RACE model is more about the customer journey. And on another episode, what we'll do is we'll actually discuss how we integrate SoStack and RACE together to create our growth plans because of the services that we are providing in terms of the entire customer life cycle, it's really important to make sure that the customer life cycle is included within those plans, and RACE can help you do that with SoStack.
Yeah. So breaking down each stage of the SoStack. So as Derek mentioned, you've got the situation, which is your situation analysis. So where are we now? What are the market trends? What are our customer insights, our competitor analysis, and internal performance?
So in terms of the situation analysis then, Chloe, when we are devising this for our clients, for instance, apart from obviously doing a lot of market research to understand trends, what's happening within their business, because obviously it's going to be completely different from ours. In terms of the customer insights, what we usually do is we go out to our clients' customers and actually get them to complete some surveys and things like that, because getting the customer insights is absolutely essential to understand where your brand is right at that moment in time in terms of how your customer perceives your brand. And then, of course, you need to make sure that you're doing in-depth competitor analysis, finding out where your competitors are within the landscape to which you're working in within your industry. Try and understand what they're doing in terms of marketing and sales and overall growth, if you like, and what they're not doing as well, which could be a competitive advantage for our clients. And of course, you've got the internal performance within the team itself. So making sure that your internal team are all completely aligned. There's no silos. Everybody knows what they're doing and how that can either benefit or not so much your own internal brand. And it just gives you a whole overview of where your business actually sits in terms of its current situation.
Yeah. And then the next one is objectives. So this is the where do we want to be? So where do you see yourself in 5, 10, 15 years? And that's about setting those SMART goals, your KPIs, and aligning with your business outcomes.
100%. And the thing is about this is, generally when we're doing a growth plan, we generally go for about a 12-month kind of growth plan, because things change so much, especially with everything that we're generally doing for our clients. That's how, because we test and iterate everything so quickly, we know what works and what kind of doesn't. In which case, then the overall plan and objectives can change once we've met them fairly quickly. Now, in terms of the SMART goals, just so that the listeners are aware, we have a SMART goals free template, which you can download from our website, which Chloe will add to the bottom of this podcast. So if you visit our learning center and just select free templates on the left-hand side, you'll get access to those. Creating SMART goals, though, is hugely, hugely important. And in terms of the objectives for that, you know, you need to make sure that they're, SMART, I suppose, which of course stands for...
So your SMART goal stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Fantastic. Thanks for that, Chloe. And generally what we do is, I'm a big advocate of always starting from the end. So you need to understand where your end goal is for that period of time, whether it's 12 months, 24 months, or 3 years. So what you basically do is you take yourself out of where you are, you place yourself in the situation where you want to be in that 12-month mark, and then you essentially look back and you start detailing what needs to happen in that 12-month or 24 or, 3-year point, or even longer if the case may be, of what needs to happen within that time period in order for you to get to that end goal. It's about aligning your business outcomes with your objectives. So, you know, what is it that you're wanting the business to actually do, you know? I mean, obviously, most people will generally tie this to revenue. You know, at the end of 12 months, we want to take the business from 1 million to 3 million, which is achievable, of course, because we do that all the time. But it's really understanding what those outcomes are and how to align your KPIs and your SMART goals to ensure you achieve your business outcomes.
Yep. And the third is strategy. So this is how do we get there? So we have, where are we now? Where do we want to be? And then how do we get there? And this is about really understanding your target audience, your business positioning, and your big picture ideas. And really honing in on your strategies here. So your content strategies and your channel distribution strategies.
Yeah, pretty much everything that you need to. I mean, this is about really setting up the foundations of, you know, how you're going to get there. The next point is actually tactics, which a lot of people tend to get a bit mixed up here, because they think that the way, in order for them to get to where they want to be, they need to be doing paid ads and they need to be doing SEO and they need to be doing this and that and that. And that's true, but the tactics are actually part of an overall strategy, you know. Yeah. So if you take our Metamorph IQ service, for instance, or done for you service, you know, that's essentially like a growth strategy based around our customer's business. And within that, you know, we'd have different tactics and things like that in there. But even within the main strategy, you have other strategies within those, like you've mentioned, you know, like your audience strategy, you know, who is it you're trying to target? You've got your positioning strategy. Are your prices going to be cheaper, or are they going to be more expensive, or do you provide
a premium brand,
et cetera, et cetera? So this is where you kind of align your strategy with your objectives, because you've got to remember that when you're doing your compiling your plan, everything needs to lead on from everything else. So you need to understand where you are, for instance. Then you need to understand, you know, what it is that you want to try and achieve. And then the strategy is about defining how you're going to actually do that, right?
Yeah.
It's about how you do that. And then that leads us on to the tactics, which is point number four. And essentially what this is about all the tactical stuff that needs to happen within the strategy itself to make sure that you're on point and you're going to reach your overall objectives. And that includes things like email marketing, SEO, account-based marketing, which I suppose are strategies within themselves. Your SEO strategy, your AI strategy nowadays, your paid ads, your social media, and everything else that needs to be considered in order for you to meet your objectives.
Yeah. So just to clarify, your tactics are the specific little tools and actions within your strategy of how you will reach your goals, if that makes sense. Because a lot of people do tend to get very mixed up with the tactics and the strategy, and thinking that just doing email marketing is your strategy. And while it is, there's a specific strategy to doing email marketing. That's only one aspect of your overall strategy to get to where you want to be.
That's correct. And the thing is, what people need to try and understand is you need to have strategy before you have tactics, because the strategy defines what tactics you're going to use, you know. So if your strategy is, you know, for to increase awareness via the Reddit platform, then obviously the tactics will need to be employed for to make sure that happens. You know, if your strategy is to grow overall brand awareness, then obviously the tactics will be different again. It really depends what you're trying to achieve.
You don't want to just start doing SEO because the man down the road told you to, or, you know, start posting on TikTok when your demographic is the, you know, maybe 35 to 65 year olds that aren't on TikTok, and that's not where they're spending most of the time, because you're just going to waste all your money.
100%.
And the next one is action. So who's doing what and when are we doing it? And this is all about your workflow, your task allocation, and setting those timelines to really understand who's doing what, when it's getting done. Just make sure that everything gets done when you need it to get done.
That's right. And you'll probably find that most businesses either have a project management system in place, like Asana, for instance, or Basecamp, or some other people just use spreadsheets. I mean, obviously, with spreadsheets at the moment anyway, unless you're integrating AI, they don't send people updates and things like that. So it's really important to make sure that when you're choosing a project management system, because this stuff needs to be managed, that, you know, you're able to allocate the tasks. You'll be able to create the workflows that need to happen for to reduce your time and effort, actually, even within the project management system as well, you know. So a lot of automations and things need to be considered, but the action is super important to make sure to align people with the tactics, with the strategy and everything else that kind of brings everything together.
Yeah, it also helps everybody to understand where the business is heading, you know, how that's going to work, how they're going to implement into that. And then you've also got the collaborative side where, you know, everybody's excited and happy, and you'll find that, you know, the team tend to not put in more effort, but they're excited. So they're like, yes. So they've got that drive and that, you know, that ambition to reach that common goal.
That's right. And as well, I mean, you know, people get busy, right? So it's also a good way to see what bottlenecks there are. You know, do people need trained in this particular thing? And so it doesn't just help the project itself, or you know, but it also helps the team as well if and when they need any help. And that kind of leads us on to the control aspect, the last item within SourceStack. What control is all about? That's about, you know, how do we measure the success of our campaigns? What reporting needs to be set up? You'll have different dashboards likely for different roles. So your CMO might be different from your CRO, which might be different from your CEO, which is probably different from your tactical team. Then, you know, what analytics needs to be shared within those dashboards. People need to come together and review how things are going. So generally what we do is we do a quarterly sprint, but we meet monthly to go over things to see where we're at, and, you know, do things need to change in order for us to continually meet our objectives and things like that, what needs optimized, if anything, and there's a whole host of things in there which needs to be considered when you're trying to control how things go. And once you've done that, then you go straight back over to the strategy side, and then it kind of comes round again, working through the strategy and the tactics, you know, because if you've identified something within the control part that, you know, we need to switch from Reddit to, I don't know, a question answer site, or we need to start pushing towards more SEO, then obviously the strategies need to change. So that brings you back around to strategy, and then that might obviously have an impact on the tactics that needs to be executed, and then it just continually goes round again.
And this is where you really understand where your customers are spending most of their time and where you're seeing the biggest return on investment for your money as well. Because if you're seeing a high ROI on, say, Facebook ads, and your organic social isn't, very good, then we might spend a bit of time helping up that organic social to really build that brand. And yeah, and like Derek said, it just keeps going round and round, and then your business eventually, you're at that 1 million, and then we're at that 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, et cetera, et cetera. And as you do tend to scale, the strategies will always change because you have new objectives, bigger marketing budgets, whatever that may be.
Yeah, 100%. And of course, within control, you just touched on budgets there. Now, obviously, budget is a massive part of the entire strategy, and making sure that you're not setting up your budgets so that you're underinvesting, if you like, which we see quite a lot of people, because they think that in order for it to get to, this big hairy goal, they'll need to spend, $10,000, or if you want to get to that big goal, either you need to take a longer term approach, which you should be doing anyway. But if you want to be doing an extra 2 million on your bottom, say for instance you're doing 1.5 million at the moment, for instance, it's maybe taking 6 years to get there. If you want to add another 2 million on the back of that, that's not going to happen with investing $500 a month. You need to be investing appropriately for whatever it is that your tactics define, if you like. So you need to make sure that you're setting budgets properly in order to get the returns that you're looking for.
And I think with that as well comes when people get through those little hardships, they tend to just say, we'll get rid of marketing, we'll save a bit of money there. But you're not actually going to save money. It's like stopping a watch
to save time.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what the thing was. It's like stopping a watch to save time. And it's just, you're not going to continue to reach your goal if you're just cancelling your marketing every month. You need that, continuous. It's like going to the gym. You're not going to go see results after going to the gym for 1 week. You need to go to the gym continuously, 6 months. You've got cutting and putting weight on and,
thing. I mean, this is one of the biggest problems with a lot of businesses, is sometimes they don't see the return. And I'll tell you why they don't see the return. They don't see the return because they're using a spray and pray approach, right? As they've probably engaged like a web design company, or, and this is no disrespect to any other agencies or companies out there, which maybe just focus on one thing, like their website as an example. And then they try and branch out and do a little bit of this and a little bit of that to try and help them. And they end up underinvested. They don't get the return. And then that actually puts a bit of bad taste in their mouth. And they think that everyone's like that. This stuff doesn't work. It does work. It does work when there's a process and there's a plan and you understand exactly what you're doing. This is exactly why we utilize these frameworks like, SawStack and Race and GTM and all this kind of stuff. Because we know that it works. This is why we've created our own process, because we know that our process works, And it does drive additional millions at the back. It does drive additional millions to the bottom line, as long as the process is followed. But you need to take a long term approach, and that's just the bottom line. And when you're using frameworks like SawStack and Race and things like that, it's not just a 12-month plan and then that's it, right? As I said earlier, it iterates, it goes round to control, back over to strategy, tactics, actions, control, strategy, and that continually grows continuously. It doesn't stop. There's no end date to planning. It needs to be a continuous thing.
Yeah. So there's some common mistakes to avoid with the SawStack. It's jumping straight to the tactics without following the plan.
So this is what most people do, right? As They've got a shiny new website. What do we do now? Right, we need to get SEO. We need to get Facebook. We need to, and they jump straight into the tactics with no real plan of what's going to happen. You know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, if you've built your website, in fact, your website should actually be part of your marketing strategy, right? You know, that should be part of it. You know, how should that be? How should your website be made up? Who is it targeting? How is it positioning your service or products, etc., etc.? You know, you need to have a plan. You know, strategy before tactics. That's what you should keep in mind. Strategy before tactics.
Yep. And with that as well, it's just going, like we said earlier, if you're going straight in for, oh yeah, Google ads and let's do Facebook ads, and then that's when you're actually going to start losing money and just spending money for the sake of spending money. And that's also what puts a bad taste in your mouth, is because you're sitting here thinking, I've just spent $5,000 on Google ads, and you know, I've not even got any clicks, I've not got any phone calls, and I'm in a few different Facebook groups where I've seen this so many times, and people will be like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm not even getting any phone calls from my Google ads, and I'm spending $5,000 a month. And I'm like, if you're spending, you know, do you have a strategy? And they're like, oh, no. Okay, well, let's look at the strategy first. Let's plan where you want to be, and then we'll look at, you know, what tactics we're going to put in there.
That's right. And of course, it doesn't really matter either what size the budget the people have got. You know, if you're going straight into tactics without an actual strategy and what is you're actually trying to achieve from a business outcome point of view, you're always going to lose.
Yeah. The second is setting vague or unrealistic objectives. So, you know, if you're only making $40,000 a month, the chances of you making $3 million by next year may be unrealistic, unless you're going to invest the money and invest a lot of time.
Yeah, the thing is about setting unrealistic objectives is, you know, I mean, like in terms of revenue, driving revenue, you know, a lot of people would maybe be thinking, you know, we're doing like 1.5 million now. You know, realistically, what most business consultants and things say is you should be looking for to increase that by 20% the next year. To be fair, with our process and Metamorph IQ, you know, we can take people from 1.5 million to 3.5 million in 12 months, provided the objectives are set properly, the growth plan is in place, everyone's aligned, and the budget's there, because you need the budget. So that's, you know, in terms of setting that objective, it might sound a bit unrealistic, but again, it really depends on the resources that you've got to put into it. So if you don't have the resources to double your revenue, then obviously that's going to be unrealistic to assume that that's going to happen. So,
yeah.
you need to be making sure that you are setting those smart objectives and not just picking something out of thin air and just expecting it to happen, because it's not going to work. You need the resources, whether that's manpower and probably budget is one of the biggest ones.
And the third one is setting unrealistic budgets, as you just mentioned. It's, you know, you need to have the budget, you need to have the resources to really scale to where you expect to see yourself in a year, 24 months, 3 years. You know, you're not going to be able to scale if you're only spending $500 a month on a website and some SEO. That's not going to happen. And the fourth one is failing to assign clear roles or timelines. I think this is quite a big one. If you're not setting out the timelines, You really do need to set out the timelines to understand where you're going to be at this specific time, where you're going to be at that specific time, and it helps you measure how far you have to go to reach your goals, and if you can even reach your goals earlier as well.
Oh, this is why, you know, action is part of the SoStack planning framework, you know, because this is an important part in order to allocate, you know, tasks and things like that for different people. You know, people need to understand what they need to be doing and when they need to be doing it and why they need to be doing it, so that they can see do things need to change in order for us to continually meet our objectives. You know, so everything needs to be considered within that kind of section. And that kind of leads you on to people tending to ignore the control and review processes, which is kind of almost part of that, if you like, because people are, like, what a lot of people tend to do is they'll maybe look at a bit of Google Analytics, or they'll maybe look at you know, a little bit of Facebook ads, or because most businesses don't have dashboards set up. Which is one of the first things that we do, is set up dashboards to make sure that everything is aligned, so you can see, you know, from a glance, you know, where we're at, where we need to get to, and then obviously you can check to see what needs to happen in order for you to actually get there. But making sure you review those, we tend to review things on a daily basis. So we've got weekly things that we check, we've got monthly things that we check with clients, and then we set time aside on a quarterly to actually readjust things, so that we can tighten things up that needs to be tightened in terms of budget, tasks, who's doing what, you know, because there might be teams where people are leaving the organisation, maybe people join an organisation, so these things need to be realigned. So it's super important that, you know, when you're working towards a framework, such as SoStack and Race and things, that you work it to a T for the benefit of your growth in your business.
So we have some actionable takeaways for you guys to implement this week. I want you to download a SoStack template or create your own SoStack based on your business, and set a plan for the next 12 months, 24 months, 3 years, wherever you want to see your business in that amount of time. I want you to use it to audit your current strategy. So like I said, even if you don't have a strategy, create a new one, really implement that, and start planning things rather than just doing random tactics. I want you to assign owners to each phase and start with a simple use case, you know, one product, one campaign, and revisit and refine it monthly. Do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap up this episode?
No, not really. Just, you know, if they're really interested in getting involved more with SoStack and the Race framework, which has been developed by Smart Insights, or Dave Chaffee at Smart Insights, and how we integrate both the Race into SoStack for a much thorough marketing or growth plan, if you like, because we include the sales and things like that in there as well, then keep tuned, because that'll be coming shortly.
Yeah. Awesome. So next week is a really exciting one. We're joined by our first guest, by award-winning storyteller Annette Deschman, to unpack the secrets of writing applications that actually win. So whether that's industry awards, grants, or recognition programs, the way you tell your story can be the difference between getting overlooked or standing out. So if you've ever thought about going after awards, but you're not too sure where to start, then episode 28 will be your playbook.
Awesome.
Well, we'll see you next week.
Okay,
bye, guys. Bye.